Good evening, church, saints of the Most High, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Master, Yahweh, Adonai, Yeshua, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are you doing this evening? I trust you're blessed. Our God is a blesser. He's a good God all the time. Amen. He blesses some all of the time, and he blesses all some of the time. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed all the time. Jesus said, who's the one that's going to be blessed? The one that does the will of my Father. And remember, who is Jesus' mother? We, the saints that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are the family of God. So God has got some unexpected blessings for us. Some blessings, I mean, the promises are ours. We've got a better covenant in the New Testament. But unexpected blessings, not just to receive them, but to be a giver. Have you ever thought about that? For you to be the unexpected blessing giver? Oh, God is so good. Amen. This is our Monday evening service for March the 27th, 2023. Monday evening daily bread service. And our main goal in 2023 is priority, kingdom priority. First in order of importance. The name of this church, the name of this ministry, Matthew 6:33. This is not a cool idea, not a request or a suggestion. This is a command. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of making us righteous, and all the things that the world seeks after will be added onto us. I mean, it's the gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. And sometimes ministers, we make it too hard to understand. And of course, there's the enemy. There's an enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy whatever God has for you. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him not deny themselves. Deny yourself. Carry your cross daily and follow me. Is this a cool idea? A request or a suggestion? This is a command. Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, three things, deny yourself, take up your cross, and our cross is different, but it's a daily thing. We have a daily bread. There's a daily cross we have to carry every day. One, deny yourself. Two, cross, carry your cross. And number three, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. You know, our daily bread, our daily weekly Bible question, let me get to it, because I said, in what book in our Bible does not mention God? God is not mentioned in this book. And I should have said books, plural, because there's more than one book. But anyway, if you got the Song of Solomon, you're right. If you got Esther, you're right. These two books make no mention of God, but they're in the Bible, and you can find God in every chapter and almost in every verse. You can find God in the middle of it. So the answer to what books do not mention God, there are two of them in the whole Bible. Out of 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, two books in the Old Testament, Esther and Song of Solomon, do not mention God. Amen. So if you got Esther, you're correct. If you got Solomon, Song of Solomon, you're correct. Amen. In the book of Esther, amen, and the book of Song of Solomon, we're learning to go beyond what Google tells us. Amen. We're discerning biblical truths. And the best surprise is that God is all over these books. Pastor Rose says sometimes the questions are tricky. They're not tricky. The answer is there right before us. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. All 66 books, somewhere in there, there's an answer. And God wants us to have a relationship. In the Old Testament, God said through the prophet, I want my people to learn of me. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So this is a close, personal, intimate relationship that God desires from his people. How is your relationship with Jesus this evening? Listen, in the book of Esther, who else Who else but God could have gotten this Jewish girl married to a king? Not just any king, but a king in the land where the Jews were hated. Who could do that? No human being could ever come up with that. You know, Cinderella's a fairy tale, you know, a lonely slave, little orphan girl marrying the prince. And so. Cinderella's a fairy tale. Esther is not. Amen. Esther is not. Who else but God could play a sow and reap joke on poor creep like Haman? Remember? Man, he designed everything evil for Mordecai, and the Lord turned it around, and they wind up hanging Haman, and his whole family was cursed. I mean, read the book. God is always working behind the scenes. That's the reason that I wanted to find out, you know, God is not mentioned in Esther or in the Song of Solomon. Sometimes you and I may feel like God is not around, like God doesn't care, like maybe he took a break or he's on vacation. Listen, God is always working behind the scenes. God was working for Esther, and when Solomon was anointed, he was the wisest man, the richest man. But when he was without God, I don't know what to call him. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Are you kidding me, Solomon? 1,000 women? You can see that the Song of Solomon is about intimate love between a man and a woman. But without God's love, there is no love. There is something in these two books for all of us. Esther stumbled into unexpected blessings, and Solomon, you know, we learned that you can be the wisest, then you can turn around and be the stupidest. I venture to say God has blessed some of us, and we're not very thankful. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen. Remember Jesus breathed on his disciples? We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Well, Jesus was telling us, just keep experiencing the Holy Spirit. God will send you the Comforter. But there, with man, things are limited. But with God, things are all possible. God calls breathes blessings into being. Jesus, that's what the Holy Spirit does, is the Holy Spirit reveals to us things that we don't know. What do you need this evening? Do you have a need? You know, there's I want, I need, and I have to have. I like to say, what do you have to have this evening? Amen. God is our source. He provides everything. Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul wrote the church in Philippi, and in Philippians 4:19, he told them, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That word "shall" is 90% guaranteed. Isn't it something? My God shall, it's 90% guaranteed. He'll supply your need according to his riches, according to his supply and his resources. Well, how's God going to do it? Let's say you need finances. You think God's going to shower you with American dollars or counterfeit dollars or whatever dollars you use, Mexican dollars, French dollars, German dollars, euros, pound, or whatever? No, God is going to bless you through men, through blessings, through blessers, according to his riches, his sources, and his supply. We receive unexpected blessings. Hey, that's great, but we are to be givers of unexpected. When was the last time you blessed somebody? You gave them a Christian handshake. Do you know what a Christian handshake is? You put a dollar bill in your hand, you roll it up, and you give it to somebody without anybody knowing about it. And they take it, and they're not going to sit there and look at it. They put it in their purse or their pocket, and it's a blessing. Then when they get private, they'll open it up and say, "Man, this person gave me $1, gave me $5. You know, you get to the point that you start giving ones, five, tens. You're going to start giving ones. You're going to start giving tens. You're going to get to hundreds. You'll be giving thousands. Why? The Lord will guarantee that he'll bless you to be a blessing, Genesis 12:2. Amen. God breathed life into Adam, not just for Adam, but for Eve. He took Adam's rib to create Eve. He blesses you to be a blessing. And tonight, you are a different person. You're a different person this evening. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things that God has prepared for who, church? The things that God has prepared for those that love Him. How do we show God we love Him? By being obedient, being doers of the word, doing the will of God. Amen. John 10:10, Jesus said that you may have the abundant life. How do we enjoy this abundant life that Jesus is making available for us? Amen. Jesus didn't come just to get us into heaven. Jesus came to get heaven into us. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The kingdom of God is within you, He said. You and I, when we accepted Christ, we've got a new address. We don't live in the old neighborhood anymore. Do you get the old neighborhood? Our old lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ. What happens when someone is in Christ? When you are in Christ, God makes you a new creature. He gives you a new spiritual address. I remember when I was born again, I worked for the phone company, and there was 10 or 12 of us in a crew. And we'd go drinking after work every day across the street. There was a bar every day. I was born again on a Sunday. Monday I go to work, and everybody expected the old Jesse to be at the bar, cracking jokes and drinking and buying beer for everybody. And we'll see you across the street. I go, nope, not today, not tomorrow, not anymore. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? I go, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm a new creature. And of course, the world, my friends, they didn't know what it was. But God made me a new creature on Sunday. I had a new spiritual address. That old Jesse is dead and gone. Colossians 1:13 said, God translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. Out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. I was different. I was not the same. Genesis 2:7, God breathed into Adam new life. When I was born again, God breathed into Jesse a new life, and He gave him a new address. God made your soul, and He is able to make it new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about the old and the new. Remember spiritual parking lot? If you're born again, God expects you to grow up, to mature. That's our scripture. Grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're a new creature. Amen. I remember the comedy movie, Brother, Where Art Thou? I recommend you see that thing. It is so funny. Anyway, these guys were escaped prisoners, and they come up to the river where, you know, Pentecostals are having baptism in the Holy Spirit. And one of them decides to go get baptized. And he comes out of the water and he tells the other two, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. And one of them says, well, you might have been redeemed with Jesus, but the state of Mississippi still wants you. What happens, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we become saints, but some of us still have sinner problems. Amen. Jesus redeems you. He redeems you, but some of us need to reap what we sowed in the world. Amen. You are now a new creature with a new address. You don't sin like before. You don't enjoy doing those things anymore. You're a new creature. You got a new address. Amen. Now listen, I did not say you would not sin. Sinners delight in sin. It's only natural. They don't know anything different. Sinners delight in sin. But you and I, with Jesus, we're saints that sin. When we sin, we're sorry, we repent, and we quickly stop doing those things. Amen. Do you remember what the Lord gave me? And it's not a riddle. We may sin the same sin we used to sin when we were sinners, but we don't sin the same way. We don't sin the same sin the same way because of Jesus. Romans 2:4, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's His love for us. Jesus wants to love you. He doesn't want to punish you. John 3:16, the greatest promise in the New Testament. He wants to save us, to make us new creatures. Amen. That's what happens when you come to Christ. You don't enjoy sin anymore because of your love for Jesus. You're a new creature. Amen. You're a new creature. Hallelujah. You love hearing and talking about the gospel. You love hearing about the blood of Christ, the cross of salvation. You enjoy hearing the future for us. Heaven for the saints, judgment day for the sinners, and the Lord's second coming. We are new creatures. We hear the gospel and we receive it. And when we respond to it, that's when the Lord makes us a better person, changed by the power of the gospel. Our Sundays are different. Our Wednesdays are different. Our life is different. We are committed and dedicated to Jesus' kingdom. Tonight, you're a different creature. You're a different species. Amen. When you came to Christ, you don't love sin anymore. You love the gospel. It's heavenly minded and not earthly minded. Hey, listen, you need to forget your old carnal address where you used to live before. Amen. Those things are passed away. Hallelujah. Treasure is everything you do for Jesus, for his church and ministry, for his kingdom, your time, your talent, and your treasure. You are now a new creature with a new address. You should hate sin, love the gospel, be heavenly minded, and you should be a joyful giver. I heard a message one time. They were taking up an offering, and the minister said, "Give until it feels good. Give until it feels good." Well, when I was giving, it hurt. I mean, I worked hard. I worked for the telephone company 25 years, climbing telephone poles, crawling under people's houses and trailers and mobile homes and getting dirty during the storm and the rain. It was hard work. But I learned that, man, you have to love to return. It's not giving God money. It's returning to God what belongs to him. Remember I said God's breath, Yahweh? Without his breath, you wouldn't be alive. Without him daily, you wouldn't have the ability to get up and go to work. God is so good. God is so good. So we need to be joyful givers. Give until it feels good. Amen. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than it is. It's true. It might not make sense to you at first. But man, it's such a blessing. God rewards you when you're a giver. When you give unexpected blessings to somebody, it blesses them. I want to get all the blessings here. I want more. Amen. We can't outgive God. We have to learn to be givers. Hallelujah. So many Christians refuse to give God's way. Then they wonder why their life is so hard. They wonder why they're under. James 1:6-7 says, if you waver, don't expect to get nothing from the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:33, put God first, even in material things. Hallelujah. In closing, let me ask you, is your new spiritual address with Christ Jesus, who's managing your life? Who's managing your home, your business? Who's managing God's money? If Jesus does not have your full charge, then Jesus is not your manager. Tonight, repent. Repent and invite Jesus to come and manage your life. You'll never be the same. We guarantee it. First is Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change your heart and it'll change your life. You'll never be the same. If you do this, you'll never regret it. Not in this world or the one to come. Hallelujah. Our Daily Bread Scripture for March. This is the last week that we'll be giving you this. Next month is already right around the corner. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the answer to our Bible question, what books do not mention God? It's Esther and the Song of Solomon. But God is in every chapter. Sometimes we may wonder, you know, does God care? Is he out there? Listen, God is God and he is love. He loves us. He doesn't want to punish us. He wants us to restore us back to what Adam and Eve had in the beginning before the fall. So tonight, to all our faithful supporters, to you, our anointed financial partners that support this ministry when we support missionaries. I pray that our Lord Jesus Christ bless you with unexpected blessings as you breathe and inhale and exhale His name and sense the Holy Spirit's presence to bring you comfort and rest. Hallelujah. Sister Grace will be with you tomorrow night on our Daily Bread broadcast. Have a great week. We love you here at First His Kingdom. We love you. God bless you. Be blessed. Good night.